Hey y'all, I am so excited that this is the first official episode of Honky Talks. I'm so excited about this. This has been a dream of mine for a very long time, and I'm glad it's finally coming alive. So, without further ado, let's talk. So, today we are just diving in deep straight into a pretty difficult topic to talk about, which is forgiving, especially forgiving when you can't forget. This is something I've had to struggle with in my life. This is something that I have had to work through and know that it's difficult, and want to share with you the tools that I used in order to be able to do this better. So, first though, I want to talk like what forgiveness actually is. Because a lot of times we think that it's something that, like, oh, we're like, I'm sorry, you say I forgive you. Yeah, I know Jesus forgave me when, for as Christians, that's what we believe. It's like, yeah, whatever. I know that this is something that, like, I have to do. I do as an occasion, but it's more of a chore, and it's not from the heart. And we'll talk why from the heart is so important. But when you look up the definition of what forgiveness is, forgiveness, intentional decision to let go of anger or resentment. So forgiveness is basically just allowing yourself to just let it go, which sounds easier said than done, and it is. There's a lot of work that goes into letting go of anger and resentment. And to the non-believer, it's something that is almost like unattainable. Like it's almost unattainable to truly let go fully of the anger and resentment you have towards a person. But with Christ and through his power and his strength, we can let it go fully. There is a verse in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And so Ephesians is a letter from Paul, who was one of the like first missionaries. He started the church as we know it today. And he's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. And so he's writing to the Ephesians, and that's why it's called Ephesians. But in it, in verse 31, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you." Now, looking at the first verse of him, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." So he lists off all these things that we would probably consider negative emotions. And usually when we list things, especially Paul, when things are listed, they are put almost in an order of like the worst to like the least worst in this case. But it's not, it is a list of like how things are put in order, but it's not just like, oh, this is the worst one, this is the least one. This is just kind of putting it in perspective of what leads to each other. So bitterness can lead to wrath, which can lead to anger and clamor and slander, and then malice along with that. And so it's very much of like a stumbling block, a stone that causes you to stumble, that something that is not good. And starting with that is bitterness. And bitterness leads to other sins or defilements. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to continue to sin and defile each other. And then it becomes part of our daily lives. And if sin is more in our daily life than Jesus is, then there's a problem, and the enemy is winning our minds. And that's his only goal. And so if we have somehow be able to let go of that bitterness that we have towards a certain person, we won't sin as much against them. We won't be as angry or wrathful or clamor and slander against them. We won't have ill will or malice towards them. And that is the road to living more like Christ. And so with that, once we can get rid of all those negative emotions, We can be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgive one another. And they go hand in hand. It's not like once you get rid of this, these come. They have to work in with one another. You have to be kind and tender-hearted and forgive someone in order to get that bitterness away. It takes work and it takes time, but there are guidelines that God gives us in order to be able to know how to forgive someone or how much we need to forgive them or where our heart needs to be in order for that to happen. So if you flip over to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Matthew 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 25. Sorry. If you look at that, there is a parable. It's called the Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. Now, my translation is an ESV. So if you don't have that type of translation or your words are a little different, it's fine. It's not like your Bible's wrong or anything. It's just simply a different way of putting certain things. I really like the ESV or the NLT or even the NASB. So, but again, it doesn't really matter whichever one you want. So starting with this, it goes into, so it's a parable. It's called Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. And a parable is a story told by Jesus that has some type of moral or lesson. There's a lot of those. We have all of those as kids and we learn about them and whatever in school, but this is a lot of times a moral or lesson to learn on how to act in the world, because the world is not a very good place. The world is chaotic and it's messy and it's hurtful and there's a lot of pain and suffering. And so Jesus gives us parables in order to learn how to work through that pain and suffering, because he acts in order for us to follow him. He is a teacher and we are the disciple. We are the learner. We learn from what he does. He acts in a certain way. He treats others a certain way in order for us to know how to do that as well. He leads by example. And so we are to mimic not only the words of Christ, but the life of Christ. And that means in his actions. The way in which he acted with the Pharisees and this people, what people would call sinners or not very like people in society, the way in which he act with them is the way in which we're supposed to act with the same people here. We are supposed to treat everyone with love. And so in this parable, there's three main characters. There's the master, there's the servant number one, and servant number two. And we'll talk a little bit about the end, about who's who and how to go about that. But as you read along with me, think about who could be who, or like if this somehow resonates with you. So we're starting in verse 21, it goes, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times.'" In some translations, it goes, 70 times seven, something like that. But this is basically saying your forgiveness is limitless. There is no, you don't need to be counting up the times of how many times you get to forgive and then you don't have to forgive anymore. No, you have to forgive constantly and consistently. It is not a one size fits all category. It's you get to forgive. If you want to live for me and live like me, you have to forgive constantly. So, moving on, he goes into a pretty difficult, it's a difficult situation for the people. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." And in that time, 10,000 talents is a lot. And when it's translated into US dollars, in today's money, like in 2025, if we were to also use talents, 10,000 talents would be equivalent to $6 billion. That's insane. That is not a small amount. That is a hefty amount of money owed. Like, That is a lot. That's all I can say about that, really. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So that verse definitely stuck out to me, and I was like, whoa, he's gonna sell his wife and children and himself? Like, that's insane. But when you look at the history of the time, yeah, here in today's world, that's very rare and not necessarily well looked upon. But back in the day, it was a normal practice. And I'm not saying that it's a correct practice, but it was a practice that they did. It was very common, especially when someone owed debts. They would sell their wife or child in order to get the money to pay them back. And who knows if they ever got to see the wife or child again. A lot of times it was sold into servitude or something else along the lines within the realms of the area. So they were still like see each other. But it still is very, it wasn't a good thing. It still hurt people to be separated like that. So in 26, it says, so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. This servant is begging his master, is like, please do not make me sell my wife and child. Please don't make me sell myself. Please have patience with me. Please allow me more time to get this debt paid. Please allow the debt to be small, like anything. Please, please don't let this be the option. So in 27, it says, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. That master forgave his $6 billion debt. That is unheard of. That never happens. But yet this master is like, you know what? That's okay. I know if someone owed me $6 billion, I would probably want those $6 billion back. Like, I don't even know if I could lend somebody $6 billion. I don't have that money. And that's something that lasts forever. You will not be able to forget that, because that will be a piece gone forever if I was the master. Yet he's like, you know what? It's fine. You're good. Go on, have a good day. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii is equal to $12,000, so a significant less amount. So keep that in mind. Who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So the servant that was just forgiven of his billion-dollar debt, multiple billions-dollar debt, was telling this other fellow servant, who's probably of equal standing as him, hey, you owe me $12,000. I need that back. Just an FYI. That's insane. Like, imagine that. Imagine you are forgiven of a major debt, whatever it be, whether it's money or something else. And then you're like, they're like, yeah, you're fine. Like, don't even worry about it anymore. You're good. And then you go to your neighbor, like, hey, you know when you borrowed that cup of sugar? I would really like that sugar back. What? That's insane to me. And the way when she's just like, pay what you owe. Like, come on, man. I need it now. Where is the money? So moving on in 29, verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. So he just said the exact same thing that the first servant said, and begging. It was like, please, please help me. Please have patience. Like, I will pay you. Don't worry. Just give me a little bit more time. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So the exact same situation, a little different amount-wise, and the servant didn't have any mercy. He didn't show him any kindness. He's like, nah, that forgiveness is not for you. What? No way. That's like, no. So in continuing in verse 31, when his fellow servants had saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" So now he's getting scolded by the master who just forgave him of that major debt. It's like, I would be worried he's going to put that debt back in. Which, and in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I really want to look at that, like, from your heart piece. Because like I had previously said, was a lot of times it's a, like, oh yeah, I forgive you. And we don't necessarily mean it, or we don't actually forgive the person. We're just like, yeah, whatever. It's more of a courtesy thing. And that's great and all. Courtesy. We love it. We're here for it. But if it's not from your heart, it's not true forgiveness. And just like what was shown in here, is if we don't truly forgive someone, even after we have been forgiven, we have to remember what Jesus did for us. He forgave us. And we, if anybody deserves forgiveness, it is not us. Humans are awful. Look at the world we're in. It's chaotic and messy and full of suffering. And it's all from stuff we've created. And yet God's like, no, I love you. You're my child. You're my daughter. You're my son. I love you and I forgive you. And you're going to mess up again and again. But I forgive you. I'm going to forgive you 70 times 7. It's not going to be the end. And in this, it's saying, if we do not forgive our brother, we're going to be put in jail. Which in the end, that's going to mean hell. We're not going to be able to live eternally with our Father. With God. With the Creator. We're not going to be able to have that. So we have to forgive. But not just as a courtesy forgiveness or forget about what happened or whatever, because some things can't be forgotten. Some of those things that we're having to forgive or feel like we need to forgive people for are things that they have traumatized us. And it can be anything. Trauma works weird in everybody. Trauma could be anything. And it's hard to forget some of those things. We can't always remember or just forget what happened. That sticks with us. It sticks with us in our body. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, it sticks with us for a while. But yet God still calls us to forgive those. Which might be hard. It is hard. It's not easy. He doesn't say it's easy. He just says we need to do it. And so we have to be able to do that from our heart. Which means we have to let go of the bitterness, like talked about in Ephesians. We have to let go of the anger, which is not easy, and it takes work. I know. In my life, I have recently had a great conversation with someone who hurt me, and I know I hurt her. This was a situation with an ex-roommate, and things just kind of went south and blew up in our faces. And I know I should have acted differently. And she's also been like, I could have done things differently. But over time, the past few years, after that happened, I was like, I need to forgive her. And it was hard. And I was like, I don't know how to forgive someone like that. Like, I had full trust in them and then broke it in an instance. I don't know if I can ever trust them again. Forgiveness doesn't mean trust. Remember that. Forgiveness does not mean you have to give them back their trust or you give them your trust. Do I trust this person again? Yes. Is that always the case? Yeah. Are there people that I've forgiven that I won't trust again? Probably. Yes, I know that for sure. But in this particular situation, I think I will be able to trust her again. And I think I can right now. But I had worked through it. I was in therapy at the time after the situation. and or before and then after. And I was like, I'm so mad all the time, and I'm tired of being mad. I'm tired of carrying this weight, because it is a very heavy weight, and it's not yours to carry. God has told us it is not our weight, but His. And that's just something that's so nice to hear, that the weight that you're carrying, the burdens that you have, are not yours, but His. And He's already taken it. You just have to let it go, which is difficult. Again, it's difficult. But I was so tired of being angry. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be angry, but I also really don't want to be her friend, and I don't know how to do both. And I was telling my therapist this, and the best piece of advice she gave me was pray for them. I was like, oh, come on. Really now? Like, obviously, I'm going to pray for her. I might pray ill will against her. And she was like, no. You can't be angry with someone if you're praying for them in true prayer. It forces you, if you're going to pray for someone, you cannot pray against their will or like ill will against them. If you're truly going to pray for someone, I pray this relationship works out. I pray that this job works out. I pray that this follows through. I'm praying this for them because I know how much it means to them. Even though I'm a little mad at them right now, I'm praying that this works. And it took a lot of time and it took a lot of discipline. Like, did I pray for her every time I prayed? No. But I did. Over time, I start praying for her after my quiet time, after this, after that. And slowly, I could feel the anger leave. And I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be great. But then I realized, oh, no. I want that back. I want that anger back. Because at first it felt good, and then I was like slowly realizing, like, oh, maybe I could be her friend again, and I didn't really want that. I was still bitter, and I was like, okay, let me just take back that anger real quick. And it was almost like a tug of war with me and God, of me like trying to grab something back, and He's like, why are you taking this back? I took it. I'm like, but I want it. He's like, why? It wasn't doing you any good. In fact, it was causing you harm. And I want to take things that are harmful away from you. Just like a dad's going to protect his daughter, God was trying to protect me. I am his daughter. He is my dad. And I was like, okay, but I want this. I can control this. I can't control the situation. I can't control how everything else is going, but I can control this. I can continue to be angry. I can choose to be angry instead of forgive. And again, God was like, why? Why would you want that for yourself? If it's not doing you good, why are you going to continue to live in a state of self-destruction? Like, oh. That is a great question, Lord. That is a great question. Can I have my anger back and then I answer it? And He was like, no. It was just this constant battle of me having to struggle to let go, but also try and hold on to it. But over time, and I continued to pray, I let it go fully. And I truly forgave her. And it was great. It was a great feeling to be able to talk to her and not be mad, to be able to see her, to go to events and things like that, and not be mad at her. It was a great feeling. It really was. It was amazing. And then we're at one event, and I saw her. And I felt the Holy Spirit be like, Karis, you need to go talk to her. But you don't just need to tell her you forgive her, but you need to say you're sorry yourself. You need to apologize, because you are not the only one that was hurt. You hurt her. And that was a hard pill to swallow, to be like, even though in my own hurt and suffering, I had hurt someone else. I was like, okay. Okay. And so I was going to talk to her, and then she left. I was like, okay, great. That was not my sign to talk to her. I didn't need to talk to her. I was kind of like ignoring what the Holy Spirit was telling me. I wasn't kind of, I was. And then I was like, if I see her again, I'll talk to her. And a few weeks later, a month or so, I guess, I saw her at church. I was like, Okay, I need to talk to her. So after church, I went up and I talked to her and I was like, hey, just wanted to tell you this. And I told her, I was like, I'm sorry and I've forgiven you. Like, I was hurt, but I've forgiven you for that. And she even had like reciprocated the same feeling. She's like, I needed to talk to you. I needed to tell you, I needed to apologize. I needed to say this too. And let me tell you, my fibers were gassed it. I was like, are you serious, Laura? Like, this is crazy. And now it's great. Like, I feel like I'm her friend again. And she meant so much into a healing process for a whole nother situation I was having to deal with. And it was so comforting to know that the Lord was working in both of us, even when it felt like he wasn't. To know that he truly wanted the best for us. And sometimes that meant just some time apart. And did it blow up? Yeah, it did. But in the end, we forgave each other. And that weight is gone. That weight is gone. Like, I'm excited when I get to see her. And it's amazing. It's amazing to have that feeling. And so, if you're struggling with forgiving someone, if you feel like you need to forgive someone, or you've recently been hurt by someone, pray for them. Pray that they get to just do everything that they've wanted. And even though they hurt you, pray peace and goodwill for them. Don't be like this servant. You yourself, yes, I'm talking to you, have been forgiven by the Creator, by the Lord, by the Savior of the world. You have been forgiven. And He continues to forgive you. And He will never stop forgiving you. And that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. So, but that's not the only way to do things. You can also, I know for me, part of my problem was, well, just in general, I am a very big thinker. I overthink, I analyze, I rewind the situation, what I could have said, what the other person could have said. I just constantly am making things try and seem better than what they are, or I dwell on the past too much. And I've realized that, and so that's something I'm having to work on. But I found, especially in the situation that I was just talked about, the more I thought about it, the angrier I got, the more bitter I got. But the thing is the past is the past. You can't change it. You can't change the past. You can't predict the future. You can only be right now. So why worry? Again, it might sound easier said than done, and like, oh, maybe there's another way around this, or I can think about this. Like, no, the Lord literally tells you to not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He says, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about what's happened in the past. It's already happened. Why be anxious about something you can't change? And that's a hard pill to swallow, too. But it's the truth. And even though things might seem bad or just like world ending, it's not. It's not that little piece that you're overanalyzing or thinking about or stressing and dwelling on is just a part of the picture. And it's not the full picture. There is so much more. There's so much color. There is so much more landscape and things to go through for us to see. And it's gonna be amazing. It really is. When we can see that picture, thing is you're not gonna see that picture when you're in the midst of it. You're gonna be very looking at like this lens, like blinders on. But know that there's more to come, that it is not just this piece. There's so much more to it. This piece is going to help complete the puzzle, to see the image, to see the full picture. You just have to get through it first. But also, in order to get through it and come through and see the photo, see the picture, you have to forgive. So, thinking and focusing and putting your blinders on this one situation isn't going to help. You have to forgive, and you can't just half-heart. You have to give fully. You have to forgive fully. You cannot just waltz around and think, yeah, it'll be fine. I'm going to one day wake up and I'm going to forgive. But that is not the case. We have to choose to forgive daily. Just like how God says we have to pick up our crosses daily, we have to choose to forgive. We have to choose forgiveness. How do I do that? You have to open the word every day. God gave us this amazing book. This book that is literally His word, and it's a living word. So even though it doesn't change, the way in which it speaks to us does. He uses the Holy Spirit to speak through us in ways that speaks to us through this in ways that we never could have imagined, in ways that it just seems not impossible, but just supernatural. And it's crazy and it's amazing and it's beautiful. And diving into the word, he might not be able to tell you how to forgive this person, or how quickly it's going to take, or how easy it's going to be, or if you're ever going to talk to them again. But he's going to give you guidance on how to go about that situation. He's going to give you comfort. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you all of these things that help you learn how to better forgive people. You will be able to come out a whole better person and feel lighter and just loved. You're going to be able to love them. You're going to be able to love the situation. Even though it might not seem like it right now, you're going to learn to love it. But it starts with forgiveness. And so, those I would say are the main three things that I have had to do in order to forgive is I had to pray for them, I had to stop dwelling on the situation, and I had to dive into the word. And it took time and it took a lot of tears. And that's another thing is whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a daughter or a son, it's okay to cry. In fact, it's a good thing. It is okay to cry and not just cry in your room or in the shower, whatever, but cry out to God. Show Him the pain. Let it out. By doing that, especially crying out to God, you are letting that anger, that bitterness, that whatever leave. And I know there were times where I was upstairs in my hallway just laying out sobbing because I couldn't see the end of this situation. I couldn't see how I could let go of the feelings that I was feeling. And I had to constantly, constantly journal and pray and read my Bible and cry. Even if I couldn't pray at that time, the Holy Spirit is a translator for us. He helps us speak to the Lord when we can't do it. He translates our pain to the Lord when we can't speak it. And that helped me realize that forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is key to being a Christ-like person, to being God-centered in your life, in your relationships, in your community. God calls us to do so many things, to be like Him. And a lot of times people might say that they're Christ-like or they're God-centered or they're just a Christian, but they don't forgive. And how can we truly say that we are God-centered when we can't forgive even though He forgave us? I'm going to say that again. How can we call ourselves God-centered if we cannot forgive in the same way that He forgave us? To truly forgive someone, you have to be willing to die for them. John 15, 12 through 17 says, "And this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. You are no longer a servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but everything I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. For you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is my command, that you love, so that you will love one another. God loves us, and because he loves us so much, he chose to forgive us and die for us. And if we are not willing to die for others, even those we hurt, are we truly Christ-centered? That's hard, because living like him does not bring easiness. It is not easy. And it's what is easy is complacency. And being complacent is fine for a time, but it's dangerous if you're willing to stay in that. Me going and talking to that ex-roommate of mine and saying, hey, I'm sorry, was so out of my comfort zone. So out of my comfort zone. But I did it. I obeyed. And yeah, it was hard and was difficult and I was shaking and my heart rate was through the roof. I feel so much better now, because living like Christ makes you get out of your comfort zone. One last thing I want to leave you with. To forgive is to know God's forgiveness. We have to fully understand what God did for us, why he did it, and that he continues to forgive us in order to forgive others. You have to know God's forgiveness in order to be able to forgive someone. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes work. But in the end, we have to realize that no, we did not deserve forgiveness. We still don't deserve forgiveness. I mess up daily. And God is like, I forgive you. I love you. And even in the times when we cannot forget what has happened, there are situations I will not be able to forget. And I know that a lot of times we keep that in our bodies. We feel that stress and that tension, or we get into fight or flight real easily when we're in a certain situation without us knowing it. When we cannot forget it, that's when we have to forgive even more. Because those deep hurts, those deep wounds, the enemy will prey on. He will get in there and he will tell you lies and he will create this bitterness inside of you that will cause so much pain, not only to you, but to others. And feeling free and joyful and letting go is not easy. I'm going to keep repeating this because everything we're going to talk about here is not going to be easy. It isn't. Following Jesus is not easy, but Jesus shows us how we need to live. Jesus forgave everyone. He forgave Judas. He loved Judas. He forgave the thief on the cross next to him. He loved the thief on the cross next to him. If we really want to be true Christ-like people, live for Christ, live like Christ, we have to follow his example. And one of his main examples that he constantly talks about and shows is through love. The only way to love is to forgive. We don't deserve it, but we've received it. So with that, today, tomorrow, for the rest of the time, I want us to choose to forgive. Choose to love, even when it's hard. Pray for those people. Don't dwell on the situations, and read what God has to say to you. Listen. Sit still. He'll show you. It might not be what you want to hear. It will be good. And in this world of pain and suffering and constant hurt, we need something good. Something we can trust. And Jesus is the only one we can truly trust. Sometimes it might seem impossible, but he can do the impossible. That's crazy enough, honestly. To forgive is to know God's forgiveness. You gotta choose it. Otherwise, you're not going to truly forgive from your heart. You're not going to be able to let go of that the bitterness, the anger, the ill will, malice. Forgiveness isn't easy, but it is so, so worth it. Anyways, I want to end on that. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I am so excited to do this. There'll be another episode out next week. I hope y'all enjoyed. leave a comment or a question, or reach out if you have anything, any suggestions or anything. Again, this is the first episode, so hopefully there's no technical difficulties. If there are, please bear with me. But yeah, it is all gonna be good. It'll be so good. I'm so excited. So anyways, bye y'all.